Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13, and then we'll be moving around a little bit today as we go through the different passages that we'll be looking at today, because the message is about the Bible itself. Today is May 1st. That means that we've completed 4 months of 2022. That means that we're a third of the way into the year, which is kind of hard to believe. That means there's only two-thirds left. It's gone quickly. It's gone fast. And at the beginning of the year, in December, we always give out a Bible reading calendar. And that calendar has different schedules that you can use to read something out of the Bible every day. The calendars are gone, but hopefully you are still using those calendars. I don't need you to raise your hand, but how many in here are still reading your Bible every day? You don't need to raise your hand to tell us that, but I'm just asking that rhetorically. Are you reading the Bible? God's Word should be read every day. And if you said, well, I started to, and by January 15, I was so off track, and you get discouraged. Well, listen, Proverbs is a good place to start. Today's May 1st. You can start in Proverbs chapter 1. Tomorrow, Proverbs chapter 2. And you read through all the chapters of Proverbs in the month and go back and start over in June. Genesis, Exodus, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Acts, or Romans. There's books that you can start in that will not get you too bogged down, but would be good for you to read. And I'm just going to tell you right now, we ought to be reading God's Word every day. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we need to read and understand God's Word. In Proverbs chapter 13, and verse 13, it says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. That is a promise from God. It's a promise negatively, and it's a promise positively. It's just up to you what you do with the Word of God. I don't think anybody in here would be outwardly disrespectful to a Bible. I don't think anybody in this room would treat a Bible in a bad way. But you know, you can despise a Bible without doing anything physically harmful to it. You can despise it just by not using it. I heard one preacher say one time that he despises Brussels sprouts. That doesn't mean when he walks into the grocery store he destroys everyone he sees, or that he gives a lecture to anybody who happens to be buying some. He just stays away from them because he despises them. So you don't have to do like somebody did when my parents had their entire moving van stolen. And 7 hours later, when the police found the van, they opened up the back and they had found that the robbers had taken my father's Bible and shredded it. You don't have to do that to despise the word. Just don't use it. Just disrespect it. Jesus said, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So how are you doing? Is it despised or is it respected? Because this is a fact. If you despise the word, you'll be destroyed in different areas of your life. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. There's a lot of things out there that could be read, but I'll tell you this, I can't possibly read every book and read the Bible at the same time. God's word should take priority over everything else. Let's look at some points today as we go through the Word of God. We'll start in John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. These are familiar verses. And before we get started, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the Word, and we thank you for opportunity to open it and to hear from it and to realize the importance of it itself. Thank you for your Word. Help us to believe it is your Word, and help us to respect it so much so that we desire to read from it and to feed off of it every day of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, despising the word will destroy your own soul. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You don't even know about the Son of God without the Word of God. As a matter of fact, he is the Word. He is called the Word in chapter 1. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So if you despise the Word, it will destroy your soul. You'll end up in hell. You'll be condemned, and you'll be in hell perishing forever and ever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we wouldn't have to do that if we would trust in Jesus Christ. But if you despise the Word, Christ himself, you will be destroyed. Look with me in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 28. The Bible also says in verse 28 of Hebrews 10, "He that despised Moses' law," and by the way, it wasn't just Moses' law, it was God's law. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord shall judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." If you despise your own soul, go ahead and keep despising the Word of God. But if you value your soul and the importance of your soul, you better stop despising the Word of God. If you're not saved and you've rejected the true gospel message of salvation from the Word of God, you need to recognize that you need to be saved today. Before you leave this building, please grab a hold of me or someone else and talk about salvation. And we'll take the very Word of God and show you from the Word of God how we know we can be saved, born again, and on our way to heaven. Secondly, despising the Word will destroy your own soul, but despising the Word will destroy your family. Remember in Exodus, the Bible tells a story of how that God told all the people in Egypt to take the blood of a lamb and to put it over the doorposts of their homes. And there was one leader who said no, and that was Pharaoh. God told Moses to tell all the people that if you don't put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of your homes, the firstborn in every house will die that does not have the blood of the lamb on the door. And that night, Pharaoh's son and every other Egyptian who did not have the blood of the lamb on the door died. So not only can you choose for yourself and your own soul when you despise the Word, but you choose for your family as well. I think of a time where we had an event with the community, and we had this guy come in, and he was a one-man volleyball player, and he was playing volleyball, and he attracted a crowd, and so there were different people come in, and then he would give a gospel presentation at the end of his playing time. And I was watching one particular family. There was the mother and the two children, and the boy was listening very intently, and the volleyball man was saying, "Who would like to trust Christ as their Savior?" And the boy and the girl raised their hand, and their mom grabbed their hands and put them back down. Now, look, I don't know that ultimately means that they couldn't be saved. I'm just saying that mom didn't encourage that day. Is that not true? That mom did not want them to make any kind of public commitment or statement. Listen, despising the Word will destroy your family. King Saul started out very well. He was a humble man, and he started out very well, but he began to despise God's Word to the point where Samuel said, "To obey God is better than sacrifice." You've disobeyed God, and you've disobeyed his Word, and King Saul began to see everything unravel in his life, and his family was ultimately destroyed because he despised the very Word, the very message of God. David, not to the extent of Saul, but David did the same. He began to multiply wives. In Deuteronomy, it says, I think it's chapter 17 or 21, one of those two chapters, where it says that the kings were not to multiply wives. And David began to take on wives, plural. To the point then that David just, every time he saw a woman, he just was interested in her because he just was taking on. So when he saw a woman bathing, he inquired about her. He should have just immediately said, "That's not for me. I'm already married." But when you start to multiply lives, where does it stop? And in that area of his life, he despised the word of God, and he forgot what God's word said. It was his job to know. In fact, he was supposed to write out his own copy of the very word of God. Kings were, and he should have known, but he let that area slip in his life, and what happened is that he committed adultery with another man's wife, and that resulted in murder, which resulted in his own children having major problems, and he saw the death of his own family members as a result of all that. See, when we despise the word, it can destroy our family. When we decide that we don't need that, and a lot of times Christians or people in general think of the word of God like a smorgasbord or a salad bar or a buffet. And when you go up there, you pick what you like and you kind of leave what you don't like. And so you go back to your seat and you've got the French fries and the chicken nuggets and the Brussels sprouts stayed up there. Listen, we do this in our life with the word of God, and we began to pick and choose what we want out of it. Israel did the same as a nation as well. They gotten so far away from the Lord, it says in Jeremiah chapter 36, and we'll read a couple different passages from Jeremiah. We'll start in chapter 36. Jeremiah 36 and verse 19. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. Jeremiah 36, verse 20, and they went into the king, into the inner court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. The scroll, or the roll, was the word of God. Verse 21 of Jeremiah 36, so the king sent Jehudah to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudah read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. This is what God had given Jeremiah to write. It was on a roll, and now it was being read to the king of Judah and Israel. And it says here in verse 22, now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it, the king did, with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet were they not afraid. They were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. They listened to God's word being read, and when it was shredded and thrown into the fire, they didn't rent their clothes or act like it was a big deal. It goes on to say that King Jehoiakim was told, you will never have anyone to stand on your and sit on your throne. Your family is going to stop being the kingly lineage right now. You're the last one. Jehoiakim despised the word of God. It destroyed his own family. Look with me up in chapter 43. Jeremiah was a preacher of God, but he was dealing with hard-hearted people. If the king is ripping up the Bible and throwing it in the fire, you can be sure there were others in the nation that were thinking the same. Jeremiah 43 and verse 1, it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto the people, all the words of the Lord their God. Now, again, is he speaking his own words? No. He's speaking all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. Verse 2 of chapter 43, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kariah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But, obviously, the Lord did say it, and Jeremiah was correct because he was speaking the word of God. Listen, if you're speaking the word of God, you're not incorrect. And when the word of God says to do something, you better do it. But notice in verse 2, it says, all the what kind of men? The proud men. All the proud men. You know what destroys families? Despising the word of God because of pride. Because of not being willing to submit to what the word of God says. I was thinking just before I got up here to speak, I was thinking about myself and how that sometimes I have a discussion with my wife or an argument. And can I? I'll be just real honest. This isn't going to sound very romantic, but I'll just be real honest. I don't always listen to my wife's opinion. And sometimes I might just disagree with her. And sometimes I might be right to disagree with her, but a lot of times, let me just tell you right now, she's probably right, and that's why she's persisting. But there is something that I think she has learned to do, and she knows it's true. If she can quote from me this right here, if she can quote from me and remind me of what God's word says, argument's done. I fly the white flag and I realize she just used something bigger and I can't topple that. I can't go over that. Listen, I hope you're a man that your wife knows that's true of. That God's word is the final authority. And if she can give me from God's word why she thinks this way, and I can't give her a good rebuttal because I don't have one, then guess what? God's word wins. Not she wins, but God's word wins. And with that in mind, you look at chapter 44, in Jeremiah chapter 44 and verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto their other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, and all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. Why? Because they knew their wives had already gone away from the Lord, and they were going to stick with their wives. Hey, you know what? That has never worked since Adam and Eve. There are times, men, where you must say, I know I'm right, and I know God's right, and honey, you're wrong, and we're going to have to deal with that. But when you decide to go with the wifey instead of the God, I'm telling you right now, you just made a big mistake. And you can ask Adam and Eve, it didn't work out so good for them either. Because we is all their family, and we have been suffering ever since. You despise the word, you'll be destroyed. Verse 17 says, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth out forth out of our own mouth. Boy, are you in trouble. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe with all my heart that the very Bible we're using today, the King James Version, is a correct translation from the correct sources and text from history gone by. And it has been proven, and it's proven itself to be the very word of God. But you and I both know that in the English, there are lots of versions out there. And they are not all saying the same thing. And I do believe with all my heart, a part of it is because man doesn't want to hear it from God. He wants to hear it from his own slant and in his own way and in his own slant. But if you despise the word, it will destroy your family. It doesn't mean instantly, but it will destroy your family. Despising the word will destroy your soul for salvation. Despising the word might save your soul, but it will destroy your family. I think about a guy named Lot. He just kind of went off and did his own thing, and he did not win his family. He lost his family. There are times, wives, that you need to say, the Lord says differently. There are times, husbands, that you need to say, the Lord says differently. There are times that you need to stand up and speak the truth because it is God's word, not because of any other reason, that it is the word of God that needs to be declared for the sake of your family. And then number three, despising the word will destroy your church. Acts chapter 2, we'll look at some passages together, but Acts chapter 2, it talks about when the 3,000 heard the words of Peter, the words of God, and when they heard God's word, they were convicted and convinced and they were saved. In Acts chapter 2, picking up from there, and after their salvation, they were baptized. And it says in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Despising the word can destroy a church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They steadfastly. We talked about that in Sunday school. That means they stayed in one area, they stayed put, and they steadfastly just continued to fellowship. So many people today just flit around here, all over the place. You can't possibly have a strong, fruitful tree that every year you transplant somewhere else. And yet there are so many people that get so instantly and easily offended at whatever, and then they go and flit over to this place and flit over that. Listen, we need to steadfastly stick by the stuff. In Sunday school, I was talking about how that it's easy to be offended in church. But you know, sometimes we need our toes stepped on. Or we need to find out that we don't need to have it our way all the time. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. I mean, that means they were with Peter. We know what kind of a goober he was. And doubting Thomas. And these other guys, I mean, they weren't perfect people, but they continued. It says in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's not forced. If it's forced, it's called communism. But if it's the Holy Spirit of God leading you to do it, that's godly. That's right. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and bringing bread from house to house, their meat with gladness and singleness of heart and praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you despise the word of God, it will destroy your church. You'll not meet together like you should and fellowship together as you ought. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it tells us that we should consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is important that we consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I am thankful that you came today. It provokes me to love and to good works. I'm thankful that this family over here from Chicago took time out of their morning to come to church and be a part of our group today. Listen, that is encouraging as well. I think it's important that we recognize that God invented church and that the local church is his idea, not man's. And the idea that we serve in that local fellowship and body of believers until the Lord would move us on. And when he does from time to time. My daughter got married last month, and she's obviously going to be living in a different town and going to a different church, part of a different church now. But typically, a lot of people are just flitting and going here and there. Listen, if you despise the word, it destroys the church. I don't go to church because Jeff Pryor always treats me right. And he doesn't come here because I always treat him right. I don't go to church because everybody just makes me feel warm and fuzzy all over. Sometimes I don't. You ever see that T-shirt? Man said, honey, I just don't feel like going to church today. Nobody ever treats me right. The wife said, you got to. Why do I got to? Because you're the pastor. I love church. Because Christ started it. I love church. It was founded upon him. I love church because church makes me have to get along with other people that on any other orbit or any other universe, I would never get to know those people. But it puts all kinds of different people together for a beautiful thing. I love what God's done. Hebrews chapter 13, despising the word will destroy your church. It says in verse 7, Hebrews 13, 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Again, in verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There are times when you just need to say, you know what, the man of God is speaking, and it's not something I can say is wrong, and so I'm just going to follow what he's saying. And so many today are not of that persuasion. Now, I think you need to first of all find out if that man of God is right with God and if he has the word of God. I don't think anybody in here should drive a Toyota pickup just because I do. And just because I hate McDonald's doesn't mean you have to hate McDonald's too. I think you should, but you don't have to. But when it comes to the word of God, we should obey what the word says. I mean, that was the whole problem with Jeremiah's day. Is they actually put him in a slimy pit and threw him in prison because they hated what he was saying. You know why they hated what he was saying? It was God's word. Guess what? We are in that day today. Americans mostly want, as it says in 1 Timothy, have itching ears. They just want whatever feels good, whatever sounds good. And there's stadiums full of people that will come listen to a guy tell them everything they want to hear. But that's not fearing the commandment. That's despising the word and choosing to hear what you want. I like what the preacher, we had a guest preacher here a week ago, and he was talking about whose God is their belly. And what that means is their God is themselves. And as long as you rub my God the right way, I'll treat you okay, Pastor. But if you start tearing down my God, you're out of here. That's what's going on in America, if you haven't noticed. Despising the word will destroy your church. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through 10 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, I don't make a deal about money at our church. I really don't. But you know what? Obviously, humanly speaking, it requires tithes and offerings for a church to go forward. I mean, that's just logical. And so God's saying, listen, how can you rob him? You can rob him in tithes and offerings. And then it goes on to say, but you'll be cursed. It will actually be to your detriment. That's exactly what we're talking about today. You despise the word, you'll be destroyed. We need to recognize the importance of just not despising the word, but being right with God in every area of our life. So if you despise the word, it can destroy your own soul. If you're not saved, you won't receive the salvation message of the gospel. You'll destroy your own soul. You can despise the word, and it can destroy your family because you've chosen to go with your family or to coddle to them or to submit to whatever they want, as Lot did and others that we've talked about. You despise the word, it will eventually destroy your church because if you aren't right with God and your family, eventually it destroys the church. See, if people can't be right in their family, eventually that permeates into the church because church is made up of families and individuals. And so number four, despising the word will destroy your nation. So many people think they know what the Bible says, but they do not know what the Bible says. They know what some man says the Bible says. I just saw this morning. It's in our new Sunday school booklet that we're going to start using next week. A guy named G.K. Chesterton from 100 years ago from England came and visited America. And when he came back to England, someone asked him about America. He said, America is a nation whose soul is church. He said that over 100 years ago. If he came to visit today, I don't think he'd say that. But America was special because America, and there was different denominations, obviously. We have the freedom of religion, but the point is that we were a God-fearing and God-honoring nation. And when you despise the word, it destroys the church, and because it destroys the church, it's going to destroy the nation. Despising the word will destroy your nation. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When we were a nation that had godliness and God-fearing in our lives, and there wasn't 100 different English version choices out there back 100 years ago or so, it was pretty simple, which was the Bible. And when we just start despising the word, we say, we want it different. I want broccoli smothered in cheese so I can't taste the broccoli. You're despising the broccoli. And that's how everybody wants the word today. Smothered in something else. Broccoli is actually good. I like it. But you know what? Someone in my life forced me to eat it when I didn't like it. I remember when I was a kid, I told my mom I wanted spinach. Because the guy on the cartoons, every time he ate it, so my mom gave me some spinach. I was like, whoa, oh, oh. It's a conspiracy. Oh. Today I love spinach. It's good for you. People, we don't love the word of God. As a nation, we despise the word of God. It's not welcome. Righteousness is the exalt of the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. That's the saved people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We have a painting out in the lobby of George Washington on his knees in the snow praying. I visited Valley Forge one time, and there was a lady that was the tour guide or volunteer or whatever she was there, but she said, yeah, don't know if that's really a true story or not. Just despising the very heritage of our nation. We despise God, and yet we think that our nation can be blessed. It doesn't work that way. We need to go back to electing and demanding that we have people who fear the Word of God, who recognize the Word of God as being a necessary part of their life. Because if you despise it, it'll destroy your soul, it'll destroy your family, it'll destroy your church, and it'll destroy your nation. But now here's the good news, and let's end with that. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. You know why you need to read the Word of God? Not so that you can check off a box saying, I did it, I read all of it for 2022. No, you need to read the Word of God because it's good for you. It's also what God said that he expects us to do. And here in America, we have access to Bibles all over the place. You can even have it on your phone in an app. There's just no excuse for us to not know God's Word. And yet, how many people don't know the Word of God? The Bible says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. To memorize and meditate on the Word of God. There are examples. I talked about the negative ones, but there are positive examples of people in the Word of God who experienced reward and blessing because they did not despise the Word. I think of Abraham. Now, Abraham, he had his trials and tests, and sometimes he failed those tests, but Abraham ultimately feared God's Word more than anything else. And what we see is Abraham and his family blessed as a result of it. We see Joseph, a young man who was sold as a slave into Egypt and ended up as a servant in Egypt and was propositioned by another man's wife to commit adultery. And you know what Joseph said in Genesis 39? He said, How can I sin against God? Think about it. He's in a foreign country. He's a slave. Nobody thinks he's even alive except for one. And Joseph feared God enough to say, I will not do this. It wasn't just going to cost him the temptation and the lust, but it was going to cost him his job. She lied about him and he was thrown in prison. But if you know the story, Joseph was brought out of prison and made second in charge of the world. Why? Because fearing the commandment is rewarding. Don't ever think that despising the Word will get you ahead. It will not get you ahead. Temporarily, it will get you ahead. But you see people who have been blessed, and you see people who longevity has proven that they are blessed of the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, it's because they feared His Word. And their children and their grandchildren are reaping the results of fearing God's Word. I think of Daniel and his three friends in the book of Daniel. And how that they were given the ultimatum not to bend and bow and bow before the statue that they were told to bow to. And how that they were thrown in the fiery furnace. And yet God rescued them out of that fiery furnace and even was with them in the furnace. Daniel thrown into the lion's den, and how that God just gave all the lions lockjaw that night. And they woke up the next morning, probably cuddled up next to a lion. You despise the Word, you don't get that kind of stuff. But you fear the commandment, you'll be rewarded. Look at me with me at Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66. Notice the heart of God and the mind of God. Isaiah 66 verse 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? God's not impressed with a physical temple that someone could build him. He made the whole universe, you know what I mean? And so God says, I'm not really looking for that. That's not what I want. Earth is my footstool. Earth is my ottoman, you know. Heaven's my throne. You're not going to impress me with some physical building. We most often make too much out of buildings. But notice in Isaiah 66 verse 2, for all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord of hosts. But then he says at the end of verse 2, he says, but to this man will I look. Here's what I focus on. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, he is a humble person. And notice the last thing it says, and trembleth at my word. The word of God is open and it's being read. You're not slouched and sleeping. You're trembling at the very word of God being spoken. I think it's Nehemiah and Ezra, where they stood for hours as they read the Word of God. The Word of God was read and they stood, not sat in comfortable padded pews. They stood and soaked in the very Word of God. It is said that whenever the scribes would copy the Word of God, when they came to the name of God, they would stop and change their quill pen and bathe and change their clothes and then write His name. The very Word of God trembleth at my word. Let me ask you a question. Do you tremble at the Word of God? When I was a boy, I was taught this. I think it's a good practice. I was taught that whenever you have a stack of books, don't do it this way. Do it this way. Amen. Now, that by itself doesn't make or break anything. However, it's just the whole mindset. This is the most important book there is. I didn't bring it out of my office today. I thought about putting it in the paper, but it talks about if I've learned all kinds of arithmetic and calculus and math, but I have not learned the Word of God, I've not been educated. This is the main reason why the public school system is such a failure, because they will not welcome the very Word of God that is the success of mankind. But fearing the commandment will be rewarded. It will be the blessing to you and everyone around you. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I'm going to tell you right now, I love hearing God's word quoted publicly. But you know what? I believe that there are some politicians that just try to placate that or patronize that. And it's really discouraging whenever they go and they try to quote a Bible verse and it's obvious they didn't write the speech. And they say, 2 Chronicles, chapter 4. Like, nobody calls it 2 Chronicles. Nobody that reads it calls it 2 Chronicles. Come on, you're just trying to... But when you have someone that can quote it, because they've been reading it, they know what it says.